continuing our legacy series, and so the first installment of the series was just titled Leaving a Legacy, and we talked about the unnamed prophet. And though he was unnamed, he was known as a man of God. And we said, what can be better said about our lives than being called a man of God or a woman of God? And so then we talked about being excellent in all things. And so hopefully you made that mind shift in your life where you're going to be excellent in everything, whether it's parenting, whether it's on your job, whether it's here giving God all your best. You're going to be excellent in all things. And so I trust that all of you have made that switch in your life and decided to be excellent. And then last week we talked about having a heart of generosity. Being generous because, you know, it doesn't pay to hoard your money and just store it all, but the Lord calls us to be generous with what he has entrusted to us. Everybody say it's the Lord's money, so we have to steward it well. Amen. All right, so, yeah, I was waiting for that, but it's okay. It's all right. And so today the title of this one is called After God's Heart. And you may be thinking, well, how is that different than being a man of God or a woman of God? Well, it's kind of like being a fan, you know, in sports. You know, I would say I'm a fan of the game, you know, of LSU and the Saints. I'll go to a game periodically with LSU. But then there's some guys who are just like, they are fanatics, right? They are just like, I mean, they have the makeup going on. They bring in props and different things where you can't even see because the props in your way. There are guys, you guys ever seen the Whistle Monster, like for the Saints? I mean, the guy, he wears this big old suit and it's like this giant, you know, whistle because he's not only a fan of the game, like, football is everything to him. And like, this is his passion. This is his desire. This is what he breathes, you know, football. And so I'm glad football season's here. But I'm not that radical when it comes to football. You know, I love it. I love watching the games. But I'm not, I wouldn't consider myself a radical. I wouldn't consider myself that by any stretch of the imagination. But a fan, yes, I'll watch an LSU game. But to be a man of God, there are many men and women of God in this place. I believe that. But are there many, many men and women of God who are passionately pursuing after God? That the very thing about your life can be said, he was after God's own heart. She was after God's own heart. And so we see that there's a difference. There's a shift, though, to seek God with all of our hearts means that we're making him our highest priority, directing our deepest love and our attention and efforts towards him, rather than focusing on worldly things or what he can provide. How many times we come to God with the wish list, like, what can God do for me? God, I need this in my life. God, I need this in my life. I need that in my life. And we make a list, you know, like we would make a list for our parents for Christmas. And whenever God doesn't meet the things on our list, we're like, oh, where are you, God? You know, why are you not answering me? But then, you know, are we willing to be in that secret place? Are we willing to spend time in his presence on a daily basis, getting to know him, getting to know his heart, rather than getting to know his hand? So many times we seek after his hand rather than his heart. We want God to fight for us, but we're not willing to give him our heart. So hopefully we see the difference this morning. So imagine, if you will, though, the creation, whom God created, would tell the creator, I only want you, and you're only convenient for me whenever I need something. You know, how foolish would that be, right? God, he created us for fellowship. He created us to be one with the Father. And so whenever we settle for just having God as this genie, if you will, you rub your hands together and God answers your prayer, we're missing the point and we're missing it badly. God wants a relationship with each and every one of you. Amen. He loves you unconditionally. In fact, he loves you so much he sent his son to die on the cross, and we were just celebrating that through communion, remembering what he has done for us. So God wants a relationship with you. We want to be a people, like the book of Matthew says, who love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Now, this requires us being intentional about it. You're not just going to accidentally become a man of God or after God's own heart. You're not going to accidentally become a woman who is after God's own heart. There has to be some intentionality about it. You have to purpose in your heart. You have to pursue his presence, if you will.
And so I want to begin with the writings of Luke. And if you know anything about Luke, he was meticulous in gathering his information. He interviewed several eyewitnesses. He even read the report from Mark. And so he collects his gospel through several eyewitnesses. But he has some interesting things to say in the book of Acts regarding a man who was after God's own heart. And we find this in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, where it says this: "Then they," talking about the children of Israel, God's chosen people, "they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man from the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And so they wanted to be like all the other nations. All the other nations had kings. And so therefore, they wanted a king as well, even though God was wanting to be their king. And so against his best wishes, God granted them their requests. He gave them a king, and Israel's very first king was a man named Saul. And he said to be a man of great stature. And at the beginning, Saul had a good heart. He really did. And he really loved the Lord, and he really did things well. But in a series of events, he disobeyed the Lord. And because he disobeyed the Lord, God said, I'm taking the throne away from you, and I'm going to give it to a man who's after my own heart. And so we continue in verse 22, where it says, "And when he had removed him," so whenever God removed Saul from being king, "he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all of my will." And so imagine, if you will, if God were to pronounce this about your life. This is God, the creator, God who created the entire universe. And he looks at David. He says, there's not another man who is after my heart like David is. David is a man after my own heart. What an incredible thing to be said about a person. And so you may be thinking, David, are you sure? Like David? Like, yeah, we know he has some victories. But David, I mean, he committed adultery. And not only did he commit adultery, he had Uriah killed, like one of his best men who fought for him and was loyal to him. David had him killed, but yet we're going to say that he is a man after God's own heart. We begin to see why that this is so as we begin to study some of the Psalms and we look at David's life and some of the things that he wrote regarding this time. So for instance, in Psalm chapter 40, verse 8, he says, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is in my heart." And so my first point is this: a person who's after God's heart is in alignment with God's will and loves his word. And so David, though he was a man of many sins, just as you and I are men and women of many sins, we have done things wrong in our past. None of us in this room can raise our hands and say, I live life perfectly without sin. David was no different. He was a man. He was a sinful man. But at the same time, his heart was in alignment with the will of God. Like, God, whatever you want to do in my life. And even though he was anointed as king, he remained a shepherd for some time. And so he shepherded the flock, and he was in alignment with God's will for him throughout his entire life. And so we see, in order to be a man after God's own heart is to be in alignment with God's will and to love his word. He says, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." Now, how many of you guys know that God's will is very different than our will, right? Like, we want to do things, and then God wants us to do things. And a lot of times those things are not the same. A lot of times they're very different. And maybe you can attest to that. Maybe you were aspiring to be something great by now, and you were aspiring to have more money in your bank account by now, and you're looking and like, well, this is not my will for my life. But ultimately, are you in God's will for your life? Whereas making the most money may not be the best thing. Maybe God has you in the very place that he has you. Maybe you're in the very place that God has you. And so being in God's will is so much greater than being in our will. And so we learn to determine what the will of God is by studying his law, right? And so if we wouldn't read the scriptures, if we wouldn't read his holy word, how would we know the will of God for our lives?
You know, we simple things like stealing and murder and coveting and adultery, all these different things. We know that none of these are the will of God, right? These are sinful things, and that by reading the law and learning the law, we realize that God is opposed to such things. But then there's things like thankfulness and patience and kindness and gratitude, like we sang about this morning. And these are the will of God for our this present time. So, but without his law, we would not know what is pleasing to him. We would not know what is offensive to him. And so his law reveals his will for our lives. And so if you're wondering, God, what is your will for my life? Pick up the book. Pick up the book. Get into the book. Get into the law of God and let God's word get into you as well. Amen. And you'll begin to learn what it is that the Lord wants you to do. And sometimes it's the simple things, you know, to be thankful is being in the will of God rather than complaining all the time. Maybe that's just something God calls you to. Instead of complaining about your situation, you know what? I'm going to be thankful about it, for this is the will of God for our lives. And so this is revealed through God's word. So a person after God's heart is in alignment with God's will and loves his word. You know, David constantly meditated on the word of God. We find several psalms, and we don't have time to read all the psalms. And by the way, it is said that David wrote 73 of the 150 psalms that are. And so I don't know if you ever wrote a song before, but to write 73 songs, that's pretty impressive. And so 73 out of the 150, David writes, and he's just expressing his emotions to the Lord, expressing who God is to him and all that he has done. And in Psalms 119, verse 10 through 15, it says this: "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." If you grew up like me and you grew up with the King James Version, it might read something like this: "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Verse 12 says, "Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate in your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." David says, look, all the riches of this world doesn't even compare to the riches that we find in God's word. And how many guys attest this to be true in your life, where you read in the word and all of a sudden, man, something just comes alive, and it's like this new truth that you found is just so valuable, and it speaks so much volumes to your life, and it's just so precious. It's like treasure. It's like jewelry. And he says, and I like that, he says, "As much as in riches is what I delight in your word." So are you a person who delights in the law of God? Are you a person who delights in his word? Is it a joy for you to get up maybe in the mornings and to read God's word? Or is it like, oh, I gotta do this, man. We're in the Bible recap plan. They're gonna ask me if I'm in the Bible, and I just gotta go through this and check this off, right? But is it a true delight of yours that I want to know you, God? I want to know you more and more in my life. And the way that we do that, the way that we get to hear his heart and his love letter to us is getting into the word of God and delighting in it. The next thing is that a person after God's heart exercises true repentance. And so we talked about David being an adulterer and being a murderer, but one of the greatest things that David did whenever he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, he didn't blame Bathsheba for being naked. He didn't blame the prophet Nathan for confronting him about what he did. You know what he says? The very first thing that David did, he says, "I have sinned against the Lord." Not everybody else. It wasn't everybody else's fault. "I have sinned against the Lord." And so he took ownership of his own sin, and he realized what he did was not in alignment with God's will for his life. And he was so grieved by that. He was grieved by his sin. He could not believe that his sin, that he sinned in such a way where he would offend the perfect and holy and righteous God. And he hated that about himself, that he did this. A person after God's heart exercises true repentance. Look what he says in Psalms 51, 7 through 12. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean.
wash me and I will be whiter than snow. So he has this desire on the inside of him to be white as snow again, to have a pure heart. He says, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. And so he is grieved by his sin, and he's wanting God just to make him whole. God, give me a clean heart. Give me a pure heart. I want to be right in your sight. I want that relationship that we have to be restored. And I know that my sin is the reason why it's damaged. I know that it's my sin that I feel this separation right now. I am longing to be in your presence. Don't banish me from your presence. God, that's the worst thing I can ever experience as a person. That would be too much to be banished from your presence. Oh God, you hear his heart crying out. He just needs God, and he needs God to move in his life. He can't stand the fact that he sinned against the perfect and holy and righteous God. And my last point is a person after God's heart has unwavering faith and trust. A person after God's heart has unwavering faith and trust. Remember whenever David's facing Goliath, and he goes to the battlefield, and this giant, I mean, he is a massive man, right? And he's huge, and he's just defying the armies of the living God. He says, send me a man that I may fight against him. And whoever wins, they will be the master, and whoever loses will basically be the servant. So rather than having both armies go out and fight, this Philistine named Goliath challenges the army of the living God, tries to defy them. David says, how dare you? How dare you come to God's camp, come to God's people, and spew out lies that you're going to overcome us and that to create this fear on the inside of us? How dare you? And so he's looking at this giant, and he's looking at his God, and he's like, my God is far better and far bigger and far greater than this little be old giant. And so David had such a trust and such a faith in his God. He was unshakable. He did some things that were like, wow, that is incredible amount of faith. How many guys would have that kind of faith? Like if you were facing, like in the physical, this Goliath of a man, this giant of a man, and then you're, you know, about my size, a little bit old man, you know, and you're like, it's all right, I still believe. I still believe that God is able, because it's not me fighting this battle, it's God fighting for me, amen? So David had this unshakable, unwavering faith and trust in God. And we see this in several scriptures, but in Psalms 18, verse 3, it says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield in the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So David looks at God as his rock. That was his foundation. That's who he stood upon. That was his firm foundation. You know, we stand on all sorts of different things. We trust in our riches. We trust in our 401 accounts. We trust in our bank accounts. We trust in our savings account. We trust in our houses to protect us from storms. We trust in so many different things. But then David says, my trust, my hope, my rock, my refuge is in the Lord, my God. And now I will not waver. I will continue to trust in him. So a person after God's heart is unwavering in faith, has solid rock faith. It is not shaken by the things of this world. This is my last point. A person after God's heart desires God's presence. Not just to come to fellowship, and to come in fellowship with other believers is good, but a person who is after God's heart desires to be in God's presence. Desires to be with him, desires to know what his heart is, desires to know, God, what it is about me that you want to change, what it is about me that you're wanting to add into my life. God, I just want to know you more. Is that your heartbeat this morning? You just want to know God more? Is that your desire? David writes in Psalms 27, verse 4, he says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." His one desire is to be in the house of the Lord, to be where God is, to rest in his presence, you know, to gaze at his beauty, to behold who he is, to be in awe, to be, "God, you're just so wonderful, you're just so mighty." To you have this desire to know God more each and every day. You know, we as Christians, as believers, God has given us access to the throne of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us then come with confidence. Let us draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so we have this unique access to God. He says, "Come to me. Come to me. I've given you access through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come to me. I want to know you. I want to, you are my son. You are my daughter. I want a relationship with you. Come to me." So he grants us this access. Isn't that amazing? That you can come to the God who created all things, and you can sit in his presence, and you can make your petitions known to him, and he hears the prayers, and he delights in the prayers of the righteous. So to recap what we've talked about thus far in this message, a person after God's heart is in alignment with the will of God for their life. The person who's after God's heart exercises true repentance. Not like, "Oh, well, I sinned, and I know that God's going to forgive me, so I'm going to go ahead and just do this anyway, and I'm going to ask God to forgive me after." You know, anybody ever been guilty of that before? You're like, "Well, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to give into the flesh because God's going to forgive me." It's not true repentance. You know, that's not what God is calling us to. But a person after God's heart is truly repentant, truly loathes his or her sin. "God, it upsets me that I sinned against you. It hurts me, God, that I've done this to you." A person after God's heart is unwavering in their faith and their trust in God. You're unshakable. This world, I mean, if you're not rooted and grounded in God, there is so much in this life and there's so much in this world that will shake you to your core. And if you don't have that firm, solid rock foundation, then you'll just go with every doctrine and everything that you hear on Facebook, and you'll claim that to be true. But the solid rock of God's word, it is sure. We can stand on it. It is a foundation. So a person after God's heart is unwavering in that, in their faith and in their trust in God. And then finally, a person after God's heart desires God's presence. There's this, "God, I want to be with you. I want to know you more and more each and every day. God," because I believe that, you know, we can spend all of eternity learning one thing about God each and every day, and we'll never get to know who God is, because he is so great, and he is so awesome, and he is so powerful. Amen? And so he gives us glimpses here and there. But to one day, whenever we cross over from this life to the next, we're going to see him in all of his glory. We're going to see who he is. We're going to be in his presence. But right now, we get glimpses here, a glimpse there. Are you desiring to be in God's presence? So, as we conclude, time of personal reflection, time to think about this and how it applies to our lives. Are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? What would David's legacy be your legacy? Could God say the same thing about your life that he said about David? Is your life in alignment with God's will for your life? Have you walked in true repentance? Whatever sin it may be, I want you to know that there is no sin that God cannot forgive.
Whatever sin it may be, I want you to know that it was all taken care of on the cross of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to bear that guilt. You don't have to bear that shame anymore. That the blood of Jesus makes you clean. Whenever you confess your sins before the Lord, He says He is faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sins. Every single one of them, He casts it as far as the east is from the west. No more to be remembered. He says, you are a brand new person in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We exercise true repentance. Do you have unwavering faith and trust in God? Maybe this is an area in your life where you struggle with. You struggle with trusting God. You struggle with trusting His Word. There's so many conflicting things in this world today. They want to tell you that, oh, you can be whatever gender you want to be. They'll tell you that you evolved from monkeys and all this foolishness. There's so many different things in this world, in our culture today. Are you going to stand up and realize who you are as the man or the woman of God that He's called you to be? And what the Word says about you, not what everybody else says about you. Will you have unwavering faith and trust in God? And then are you a person who desires to know God more? You desire to be in His presence each and every day. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Heavenly Father, we just come before You and we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we want a legacy. We want it to be said about us, as it was said about David, that we are men and women after Your own heart. God, let there be no greater thing said about us than that. Lord, that we would be after Your heart. Lord, that we would align with Your will for our lives. So, Lord, right now, we just take a moment to repent if we have not submitted to Your will for our lives, if we have been bucking that, if we have been going against that because we want our own will to be done rather than Yours. God, we ask for forgiveness this morning. We ask that You would lead us into Your perfect will for our lives, whatever that means. God, we know that there are even relationships that are outside of the will of God. People who we have led into our lives, but they are not of You. So Lord, if that is us this morning, we ask God that You would remove those people from our lives who are not in accordance to Your will. Lord, even though that's hard, and even though that's tough, and they'll probably talk about us, and we'll probably lose a friend, we might even lose family members. But to be in the will of God is what we desire. We want to be men and women after Your own heart. Lord, for those in this room, God is still carrying around this burden of sin. Lord, that today would be the day, Lord, that we cast that thing at the feet of Jesus and we receive Your forgiveness and truly walk away from our sinful lifestyles. Oh, God, forgive us. Forgive us, oh, Lord. Maybe that's you in this room today where you just need to ask God to forgive you of your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you. He loves you. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. The enemy comes to condemn you. The enemy comes to make you feel unworthy. How dare you lift your hands? How dare you pray to God? Do you know what you did? You rise up and you declare the word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. I truly repent of my sins and I'm turning towards You. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Perhaps your prayer is like, God created me, the heart of David, to have unwavering, unshakable faith, to trust You at all times. In the good times, it's easy to trust God when things are going good. And in the bad times, to trust God when things are falling apart. God, we trust You. We trust that Your ways are better. We trust, God, that Your heart towards us, God, is, Lord, You love us and You're wanting the good things for our life. You're wanting to bless us and not tear us down. We trust in Your sovereign plan for our lives, whatever that looks like, God. And, Lord, finally, that we would desire to be in Your presence.
Lord, above all things, God, place that within us, Lord, even this week, that we would just hunger and thirst for righteousness. We would move from one level to the next, that we would not be satisfied where we are, but Lord, there would be constant growth and constant movement, moving towards the things of God. Lord, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. And take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord, for every person who prayed this prayer, who stood in faith. And we're asking, God, that you would just create that inside of us. Lord, we know this is something that just doesn't happen to us overnight, but it's a lifestyle of making decisions that says, this day I am going after God, and tomorrow I am going after God, and Wednesday and Friday and Saturday and 10 years from now, my heart says I am going after God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I will live for you. The world is behind me and the cross is before me. God, we make that decision this morning, and we declare that we will be men and women after the heart of God. God, we thank you. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for all of your amazing people here this morning. We just ask, God, your hedge of protection be over them. Cause them, Lord, to be that man or that woman who is after the heart of God. Lord, we pray for their families. We pray protections over them, oh God. We pray against all sickness and disease. And we just pray blessings upon God's people right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in this place today. And let God's people say, amen.
Amen. We pray this morning as you walk out those doors that you would be a person after God's heart. Read the Psalms and encourage yourself in the Word of God and those truths that God is for.